I guess I could have asked Dr. Copen, our wonderful guest, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital, a conversation sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Copen, just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you know the anatomy of insects, do you?
I know about some fleas, I think. Although I think I should open up a clinic this summer for cicadas, don't
yeah.
you think?
Oh, yeah.
Things are looking.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch them do their thing. That's not what we brought you on here to talk about here today, Dr. Copen. I want to ask you, there's a couple questions going around. And, you know, I was seeing on News Nation this morning, they were talking about PFAS are like plastics in the water system, about some new information about that. Boy, that is an area where do we just not know quite yet what the impact of these microplastics are everywhere in the world? Are we learning more day by day about what these things do or don't do to our system, or is the jury still out on a lot of this?
I think the jury's out on a lot of this stuff. At the same time, and this is really important, we do know enough that there are certain of these chemicals that actually do have quite the detrimental effect on human health. Some of them actually can no longer be used for that reason. The issue here is this is a very complicated subject. I looked it up. I was wondering how many of these substances actually exist, and it turns out there's over 12,000 of these PFAS things that have been identified. Think about that. So these so-called forever plastics, there's over 10,000 that have been identified. How many of them actually cause human health problems, we don't know. But this is what we're dealing with right now.
By the way, for someone saying, well, what does the acronym PFAS stand for? It's not an acronym. It stands for, oh boy, polyfluoroalkyl substances. So that's why we just say PFAS, people.
Yeah, and so there's the polyfluoroalkyl substances, and then there's their cousins, the perfluoroalkyl substances. That's why we say PFAS. And then I think that's probably why in the common nomenclature we talk about them as forever chemicals or forever substances. These things really don't degrade easily, and they hang around. And I think it's also important to know what they're used for. A lot of like non-stick things like Teflon has this in it, wow. Firefighting foam. There's a lot of substances that are commonly used that have these things in them. And the reason this has been in the news a lot is the Federal Environmental Protection Agency has just put out new guidelines for how much of this stuff would be permissible in drinking water.
Okay, I just read in this article that high levels are associated with a range of health problems, including high cholesterol, some cancers and immune system disorders. Some health consequences are linked to it as well. Have they proven causation, or is it correlation, or is that where the science just disagrees or doesn't know enough yet? Do you kind of see what I'm asking here?
Yeah, and it's a great question. I mean, it really is, and that's the important thing. There are certain diseases where there is absolutely sufficient evidence for an association. So, for example, there's high cholesterol, believe it or not, that can occur both in adults and children from having way too much of this stuff in your body. There's some reports of kidney cancer, which seems to be an association. And then there's some immunological things. Those are the ones where there's the best evidence. Now, I think we have to be careful here, too. Although there's evidence of an association, most articles will talk about how this isn't as bad as smoking a package of cigarettes a day, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to keep this in the proper perspective. As more information is coming out. And I want to add one other thing. The Chicago City water system was recently checked by the Illinois EPA. This was done in January of this year, and they didn't find any of this stuff in the Chicago municipal water system. So that's really good. Important. And if you're interested, any of our listeners who are interested, the Illinois EPA has a pretty easy-to-use website. that will tell you what's going on in the community you live, whether the water is a problem or not. And the good news is, in Illinois, the best I can tell, the vast, vast majority of our municipal drinking water systems, they cannot find these substances in the water. So that's good.
That's good news. If you have one of these things, like high cholesterol or one of the many things you mentioned, like, can you test? Is there like a blood test or something that can tell you how much PFAS you have in you?
Yeah, so the big reference laboratories, companies like Quest, they actually have a test that will measure it. Most like hospital laboratories don't do it, but it is possible to do what we call a send out blood test and get the results back. And right now the recommendation is the folks who should get this tested are people who likely had a lot of exposure to this. So for example, let's say somebody's drinking water comes from groundwater, a well, and the well water is tested. There's a very high level of PFAS, those are the kinds of people who certainly should get tested. Just because you have high cholesterol, which is right, such a common problem, that doesn't mean that you need to get this tested, only if there's concern for an exposure.
Yeah, and I guess I just am like, what happens if you are tested? I know we're going down a rabbit hole here a little bit, Dr. Copen. I'm not trying to frighten people with this sort of stuff, but like, let's say you do have high PFAS and that has caused high cholesterol. Is there a way to clear it out of your body, or is that just, well, this is what you consume, this is part of who you are now, and here's what you might be at risk of potentially in the future?
Yeah, and that would be the right way to think about it, and to limit ongoing exposure to this stuff. So, for example, if your water supply is high in PFAS, you have to change it. And there are actually filters that can be used to filter this out of the water or literally change the source of water. There's certain occupational exposures that are known. Those can be limited. So it would really be about avoiding ongoing exposure to these things.
Right. We are getting a few texts already, like, could this thing that I have be tied to this? And I don't want to go through each one of them and put you on the spot in any way. I guess talk to your medical professional, maybe mention it, see what they think about some of these things, and maybe they can advise you further on that, I bet.
Yeah, and I think that's the right way to go. I would also say this is one of these areas where many physicians and other medical professionals are going to have to do some homework. These things have been around for a long time, but this type of toxicology is not necessarily something that most physicians have a great deal of expertise. The good news is there's really good resources available out there that will help healthcare professionals rapidly get up to speed on this important subject.
Okay, bring it up with your doctor. Go see your doctor. Step one, always. All right, Dr. Copen, hang on the line. We're not done with you yet. Sponsored by the Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. I have a question about Ozempic babies. Dr. Copen, continue our chat with the Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Okay, Dr. Copen, Ozempic babies, apparently a side effect, some people are saying, of taking Ozempic is pregnancies, despite some women who are on birth control. What do you know about this?
Yeah, this is really a fascinating subject. It's Mr. Williams and I have been talking about repeatedly. We're learning in real time about these medications, right? These are relatively new medicines, Ozempic and its cousins. And as more and more people go on the medication, we're learning how they work. We're learning about unintended consequences. So it turns out there's a group of women who either were having a hard time conceiving and getting pregnant, or have been taking birth control pills, who go on this medication, lose weight, and get pregnant, unexpectedly get pregnant, and thinking that they can't get pregnant, either for medical reasons or they're taking contraception. And it turns out it has to do with the effect of Ozempic and its cousins. It's really very interesting. It's unexpected. I hope for the women this has happened to, it's been a delightful surprise rather than the opposite. But this is just one of those unknown things that have come up as we've had more and more experience with this class of medication.
So there seems to be a scientific connection, they're saying. This isn't just, oh, a lot of people are saying this is very anecdotal. The scientists seem to be able to find a link between these two?
Yeah, I mean, there are women, for example, something like polycystic ovaries. They can become overweight, quite a bit overweight. They go on this medication, they lose a whole bunch of weight, and by losing weight, some of the hormonal issues that are keeping them from getting pregnant change and become more normal, and they can get pregnant. That's one area where I think it's pretty clear right now. For women who take birth control pills, there seems to be an effect, and it's unclear exactly what that effect is, on the efficacy of the birth control pills when women are taking Ozempic and its cousins.
Interesting.
So there's something there, too.
I do read on, though, that the hunger and weight gain, those are obviously typical during pregnancy, but a lot of these women say that the intensity of their symptoms is unlike that of previous pregnancy. Like they have extreme hunger and rapid weight gain after quitting these drugs cold turkey to protect the baby's health. Number one, can you take Ozempic still when you're pregnant? And number two, have you heard about this kind of springboard effect if for the women that choose not to?
Yeah, so no, pregnant women do not take this medication. Okay. It's an absolute reason not to take the medication. It's not good for the baby. Let's think about it this way. I think it's pretty straightforward. One of the ways that this medication works is by decreasing appetite. Cold turkey taking the medication away, that appetite's going to come back. Mm-hmm. So people are going to have a heightened appetite. I think we could get more sophisticated into the pharmacology of that, but the important thing is this has been seen, it would be expected, and it's just something that we're going to have to learn how to deal with for our patients who fall into this situation.
Last thing, we got about a minute left. Someone texted in, I'm on Ozempic and haven't needed anxiety meds. First of all, that's great. Have you heard anything about that, Dr. Coben, of helping with mental health? I guess the added effect perhaps of losing weight might make just you feel better, generally speaking. I don't know if that would cure anxiety in some people, but have you heard of those benefits too, to the mental health?
Yeah, as we're getting more and more experience, it seems to be in some patients some positive effects on mental health. Even people who have issues like with drinking too much alcohol and even some other substance abuse, there seems to be less craving in many patients for those things when they're taking these medications. So again, new class of medication, more and more people are on it, and we're learning in real time both good things and maybe not so good things about these medications. So all I could say is stay tuned for next week, where I'm sure we're going to have even more things to talk about with these meds.
I'll be listening. You and John Williams do a great job. I appreciate you joining me, Dr. Coben. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Take care. Be well, everybody. Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Coben, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital.